Hello, would you please state your name, the date, the time, and your location?
My name is Fiona Tang. The date is October 16th, and I'm located on Pacific Time in Sacramento, California.
And the year is 2022.
And the year is 2022.
And do you consent to having this interview recorded, digitally uploaded, and publicly released under a Creative Commons license, attribution, non-commercial share alike? Thank you so much for being here with me this morning. Would you just introduce yourself to anyone who might find themselves listening? What would you want them to know about you and the place you're speaking from?
My name is Fiona, and I'm speaking from Sacramento. I don't know, what would someone want to know about me? I don't think I have an answer to that question right now. I guess I'm a 31-year-old Asian American living in Sacramento in as a non-prescriptive way as possible. That's, I guess, who I am right now.
Tell me a story about your life during the pandemic.
So I think during the pandemic, I was really pretty anxious in the beginning, like very concerned about both getting sick, getting my family members sick, and also like being a vector accidentally of getting someone else sick who, maybe in a less healthy condition than me to like tolerate getting COVID-19. I think I knew that if I had gotten sick, I would be more or less okay. Even pre-vaccination, I like recognized that I was like pretty healthy and like in good shape and knew that I likely wouldn't die from the vaccine. And so I think I felt sort of like a moral responsibility to keep others safe by staying sheltered as much as possible. I think also being an introvert, I was like very willing to like take up the world's offer to not go anywhere and not see anyone for a pretty long time. I was like, yeah, I don't have to commute and I can just stay in my room and like that's totally okay and like if anything more socially acceptable now than ever. So yeah, just it was like socially acceptable to be antisocial. And I was like very open to embracing that. Yeah, I remember like checking the news a lot and like being really like scared and worried for like nurses and doctors and like frontline workers. I think I also felt really lucky and privileged in an unfair way to have a job that allowed me to make an income and have like pretty much a normal life, despite the fact that a lot of people were getting sick and dying. And yeah, just like a really overwhelming sense of like helplessness and unsure of how to like make things a little bit better for people. I remember just like having moments, I guess, of like panic and anxiety where I wanted to like make masks for people and like, I don't know, like donate to like hospitals and like not hoard because I recognized that people like needed things that I didn't need to hoard. I think a lot of people went straight into like sort of like a scarcity mindset, like buying like food and toilet paper, and I wasn't quite there. But yeah, it was just a really scary time, I think. This was all like pre-vaccination. I would say like post-vaccination, I felt pretty relieved immediately. I was like, I think I remember also like a lot of folks were trying to get vaccinated as soon as possible, even if it meant that they like needed to lie about their actual health status. And I think I felt pretty morally torn about that and felt like it was pretty unfair because I do have friends that have asthma and like for them it's actually a pre-existing condition to where like if they had gotten COVID, like it would have been really detrimental to their health and well-being. And so I just remember waiting at home patiently for like my time to do it. Yeah, I think, well, now I'm quadruple vaxxed, so like, I feel pretty good about that. I think also a lot of issues with like masking culture and like, I think I'm trying to like better understand like where anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers are coming from. I think for me, I've always had like a very natural trust in like science and like the medical field, but I also recognize that like a lot of people haven't been treated well by like our healthcare system, and like it makes sense that they wouldn't trust it because it's like, it's gone awry for them in many ways. And I think, yeah, like the anti-masking debate was like pretty hard, I guess. I was like thinking a lot about like what it means to be fascist and like what it means to make decisions for other people in spaces where we like have sort of implicit consent. Like going into a public space means that you like share like the air with, other people. And for me, I felt like masking should be a default, like sort of the default and the norm, and like anti-masking or not masking should be the anti-norm, just because people don't have, ability privilege, or they might have asthma or pre-existing conditions. So like I think in my political view, I think it's been hard to see people not willing to wear a mask. Yeah, that's kind of where I stand on that. What else? What was the question again?
Tell me a story about your life during the pandemic.
Oh, right. It was supposed to be a story. I don't know if I have a single story that stands out in my mind. Yeah, I don't know if I have a single story. I think just lots of like thinking about like community and like making decisions for other people and for myself and like respecting boundaries. Even the boundaries that like people don't explicitly say they have, because they can't, unless they wore like a sign around them that said like I have asthma, I guess, yeah, that's my story.
To the extent that you're comfortable sharing, would you say something about your experiences of health and healthcare infrastructure pre-pandemic?
My experiences with the healthcare system pre-pandemic. Yeah, I think I touched upon this a little bit earlier, and feel free to take that response. But I would say I've had a pretty good experience with the healthcare system in the US. I think part of it is like sort of, I mean, good and bad. I would say like oftentimes when I've gone into like a doctor's office, I'm like sort of mentally prepared to like over exaggerate my health conditions so that I can get the care that I need. And I think generally speaking, I've been pretty good at like self-advocacy. But I can see situations in which people like don't know how to like navigate that specific aspect of like talking to a healthcare provider. And yeah, I would say it's been mixed for me. Like insurance is like such an awful process here. And like getting the care you need can be so like bureaucratic and like unnecessarily cumbersome. But in terms of like actually getting, I guess, medications that I need or like prescription drugs or basic healthcare needs, I feel like that's all been pretty smooth for me, more or less. So yeah.
Pre-pandemic, what was your day-to-day looking like?
Pre-pandemic, my day-to-day was sitting in front of my computer and being on video calls with my coworkers. And oh wait, sorry, pre-pandemic. It was going into the office. Sorry, I'm congested. It was going into the office and seeing my coworkers and I don't know, running to and from different like office spaces, like being at my workstation and like doing a regular 9 to 5, mostly in like spreadsheets and like healthcare data. I was like analyzing claim line level data for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. That was like my job pre-pandemic. And then, yeah, like really long commute to the office, like an hour and a half one way, which is 3 hours total in a single day. So just a lot of like physical exhaustion moving between my office and my home. And then weekends were just like recovery time and like being an introvert and like occasionally seeing people.
Do you remember when you first heard about COVID-19?
Yeah, I remember pretty early on, I was like paying attention to the news. And I remember on my commute to work, listening to the radio and a lot of people were like, not sure if it was just a common cold. And some people were pretty concerned because it felt like our response was delayed. Because we had heard about it, I think, in January at the very beginning, but no one really seemed to be concerned. So I think there was sort of like, I guess for me, like trying to figure out initially whether or not it was something I should be worried about. And also just listening to the radio and like hearing that like things might change really quickly for everyone. And sort of like mentally preparing for that. And then I think also learning a lot about how our administration like really failed to protect people and like respond in an adequate manner. Like I remember learning about how there was a dedicated team of researchers who like had alerted the government about like this pandemic, or like, you know, just the possibility of a pandemic, and it was like largely ignored by the Trump administration. And similarly, like how a lot of scientists and researchers in, like, I think it was Wuhan, I'm not sure, but in China, were alerting the government there that there was like, you know, a looming danger. And I think just like, yeah, just like thinking a lot about like how communication could have fallen through the cracks, and how the government like really neglected to give attention to this like very pressing thing that that they had been warned about. So yeah, I think just like a lot of disappointment in government. What was the question? Sorry, I'm trailing off, which is, I always do this.
when you first heard about COVID-19 and early reactions.
Right. I think that was my early reaction. Just like a lot of disappointment and like fear and anxiety. Yeah.
What was it like when lockdown hit where you were?
Lockdown. The company I was working for at the time, they responded pretty quickly. I want to say by end of January, maybe beginning of February, we decided to work from home as a company. And so I was able to shelter myself pretty quickly. And I remember suddenly everyone was not outside. Like the streets were pretty much clear of cars. And I think initially the Bay Area took it pretty seriously. I think there was like just like this mass hysteria where people were like hoarding toilet paper and like staying inside. And I thought that that would last for a while. But I want to say after like maybe a month, people were over it and weren't willing to put up with sheltering anymore. I still remember there were conversations about like shelter in place for 4 weeks, or I can't remember what the threshold was, but like there was this, you know, there's a lot of conversation about flattening the curve and just staying at home for like 4 weeks. And to think that we've been in this for nearly 3 years now is wild. Like, I can't, I think that if we had actually stayed home as a country for 4 weeks, perhaps like we could have prevented a lot of death and a lot of like unnecessary suffering. So for me, I locked down pretty much entirely. Like I didn't see my friends, I didn't see my partner, I didn't see anyone other than the person who I was living with at the time. So I took it pretty seriously and I didn't stray from that. But I know a lot of my friends were still going out and were still like not concerned about spread. And yeah. So it's just a very different mixed reactions, I think, in my social circle and like in my own home. Yeah.
When lockdown hit, what was your day-to-day looking like at that point?
My day-to-day. I was pretty happy to not have a commute and was just like working from home 9 to 5, but in my like in front of my computer. I think I found it really challenging to like separate work from home. Like I remember just being exhausted and drained from like staring at my computer all day and then staring at my computer some more and then going to sleep and then doing that all over again. It just felt like I didn't have a break in my physical environment. And that was like, I think it took like a different type of mental health toll on me. Especially because my desk was like in the same room as my bed. So like I really had no physical separation between work and home. Yeah, that was rough.
What were some of the things you were trying to do to make decisions in this moment when we really didn't know very much about anything?
Yeah, I think I tried to err on the side of caution, like because I didn't know much about how it could be spread or my own immunity or, you know, the bodies of other people and their pre-existing conditions or not. Like, I felt like I needed to just err on the side of caution regardless of where I went and regardless of who I interacted with. And so that really just boiled down to like two things, which was like shelter in place and be as clean as possible. So that's the side I took. And I was able to do that for a pretty long time, like because of my job and being able to work from home. I took the very, very conservative approach as compared to like many of my other friends who would still see each other like, you know, every now and then, or sorry, would see each other pretty frequently. I remember also like spacing out my social interactions. So like if I did see a friend, I would do it outdoors, or I would like see them and then test before and after. And then if I saw another friend, I would like make sure to space out that interaction from the last one by like 2 weeks or so, so that I could just know if I got sick or not before seeing someone. Yeah, I was pretty conservative, I would say, relatively.
Would you share a bit about what romantic partnership has meant to you during the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I was dating someone at the time, and I think for us, I was able to process a lot of my thoughts and concerns and anxieties with someone, which was really nice. I think that a lot of people didn't have that. And I think it made like the pandemic that much harder for people who didn't already have like a really strong source of support. I think for me, I was really grateful to have already had like a really strong relationship with my partner and also a strong relationship with like each of my friends, to such an extent that like being separated from them physically didn't really quite have an impact on like the strength of our relationship. It was sort of just a continuation of what we already had because we had a strong bond already. So I think, yeah, just like it was a lot of maintaining the relationships that I already had over like video and phone. And I think for me, I had a sounding board in many ways. Like the things that I was like worried about or anxious about, I could talk to with my partner. And yeah. I think the hardest part was being like physically separate and not knowing when that would end. I think especially because I was like both trying to like balance the relationship that I had with my partner in addition to like the relationship I had with my community. Like, does seeing my partner mean that I'm not being as considerate to, you know, the city of San Ramon or the city of Oakland or whatever it, you know, wherever I am and walking around? Like, it was hard for me to like sort of manage that. And then also, how does that affect my relationship with who I'm living with? Just like a lot of like thinking through like how to balance being considerate to like all parties involved was like pretty hard, I would say.
When you would be deciding to meet with someone, what are some of the ways that you discussed safety needs and boundaries with them?
Yeah, another really good question. I remember before meeting up with people, I would ask them like who they had seen over the past week. And I would give them the same courtesy, like just to tell them that, hey, like I recently saw this person. I think also being clear about whether we would mask or not. So like if I would meet up with a group of friends, I'd be like, hey, like, are we gonna mask beforehand? And if we were going to decide not to, then that would be like a very explicit like announcement. So just being like, we're not planning to mask or we are planning to mask. I think it was really important for me to like notify the people there like beforehand, before they got there, that that would be what like the decision that the group would take. So I think also I had a lot of conversations about like who like my friends' pods were. Like, pod is a term that kind of came up during the pandemic that referred to like the people who you're regularly seeing and not willing to not see because you're a human who needs like social interaction. And so talking to my like best friend about like who is in her pod and like how are they staying safe, and then telling her about my pod and like who I'm not willing to not see. What was the question again? I have lost track.
How are you negotiating boundaries with people when deciding to see them?
Yeah. Wait, now or then?
Then,
yeah. Yeah, so conversations about who's in your pod and like, are we going to mask or not? And are we going to socially distance? I think socially distancing was honestly probably the hardest, because I don't know, wearing a mask, it's like something that you can do on your own, but like, I don't know, staying 6 feet apart, that's like really hard to do in a space that's indoors. Yeah. It was just, in some ways it wasn't that structured. It was just like, let's just try our best to take the precautions that we have been told we should take, and fell short of it, I'm sure, multiple times. So yeah, I think I tried really hard to be explicit, but like when we're actually in the circumstances, like sometimes people would take off their masks and sometimes people would stop social distancing, and sometimes we would accidentally see someone outside our pod. Like, it's really hard to like stick to the things, I think, when you're actually doing it. So yeah.
And how's that changed now?
So I think now, definitely less anxiety over getting sick, generally speaking, among all my friends. I think there's almost little to no conversation about how to negotiate those boundaries. So yeah, I want to say now it's like, there's no discussion pretty much about whether we're going to wear a mask or whether we're going to socially distance or whether we're going to stick to our pod. I think overall there's been like much less anxiety as a country over like getting sick, and there's like almost like an acceptance that eventually we're all going to get sick, which I don't necessarily agree with. Like I'm still trying to not get sick. Like that is still a goal of mine. And I would like to still, protect like my friends who have asthma and like respiratory illnesses. So, yeah. Not too much conversation about the pandemic and how to stay safe and negotiate boundaries.
Consideration of others has come up a few times in the interview. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about where you got those values. Where did you sort of learn to start paying attention to those needs in others?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I've always been community minded, and like thinking about others has always come pretty naturally to me. So, I think I'm always like sort of thinking about me as a part of a whole, the whole being like a system of people, like an ecosystem that needs to live together, and both like take into consideration like individual circumstances as well as like a collective whole or a collective good. I don't see myself as like separate from a society. I see myself as very much like part of a society and part of a community. So I think I'm not sure where it came from, but I know that it's like pretty integral in my personality and like in my way of life. Like that's just how I move through my life, I guess. Like thinking through, how my actions are impacting others and how others' actions are impacting me. Yeah.
2020 was such a big year beyond just the pandemic. So was 2021, as is 2022. I'm wondering, other than COVID-19, what have been some of the issues on your mind and heart over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think living circumstance, so like finding like a city, a location that like works for the lifestyle that I want, in particular, like not driving and living in a walkable city where I feel like part of the city, I guess. I think I've thought a lot about like city planning and the walkability of cities and how the Bay Area has really like not met my standards for like being part of like a region that like infrastructure, like a regional infrastructure that supports the lifestyle I want. So when I think about like having lived in Oakland and Fremont and all these like suburbs in the Bay Area, like I see like a lot of bubbles. So there's like the home bubble that people move to and from by being in their car bubble, and then they're in their work bubble where they're like at the office, and then they go back into their car bubble to like be in their home bubble. And I think for me it's just very like disparate and feels really like separate. And so I think interestingly, I think the pandemic gave me a lot of time to like process like what I want and where I want to live. And like both in the context of like a pandemic, but also outside of the pandemic context, like where do I see myself living my best life, and how can the city like support that, I guess. What else have I thought about? I think like career, like I think the pandemic sort of nicely coincided with like job stability, which I hadn't had during the pandemic, or sorry, which I didn't have before the pandemic. Like I feel like finally I'm sort of in a place where I can just like take a deep breath and like not have to worry about like my next job. So that has been really nice. I would say 2020 to 2021, I was technically in like a fixed term like job. But I had been like very much set up for success like after that job. And like if anything, I feel like my personal and professional network expanded during the pandemic as opposed to shrank. And I felt much more like I had a much stronger sense of like where I was and where I was going, career-wise and professionally. So like, and knowing like I just sort of had a sense of calm and assurance that everything would work itself out, because I had like really built up a community. So yeah, I think another thing that's been on my heart and mind is like how I can move back into civic tech. Like I think having breathing room with my job has also meant that I am thinking about where I can fit into like this broader, I guess, area of like civic tech and like giving back to the community, my community, in ways that are like very tangible, and like how my skill sets fit into like that overall overarching mission, I guess. Yeah, I think that's it.
Would you explain what civic tech is?
Yeah, so civic tech is, it refers to technology that streamlines government services in particular for people who both who are most in need of them, but also generally speaking, like anyone who relies on like a government agency's like services. So that could be like food stamps or the postal service or like the education system, anything that's like public oriented and is like possibly subsidized by the government would fall within the realm of like of civic. And a lot of that was informed by my work at Code for America. So I think just like sort of returning to where I started would be like awesome if I could do that. Did I answer your question? Cool. You froze for a sec, so I wasn't sure.
You've mentioned walkability in cities and having a really long commute. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about the kind of changes that happened with people's mobility during the pandemic.
People's mobility. Yeah, that's so interesting. I think if anything, people being at home longer has also made people reflect on where they're living, like the city that they're in, and whether it works for them. Like a lot of folks have moved away from like major cities like New York and San Francisco. My guess is that because the cost of living is so high there, and because they're at home anyway, like they're trying to find just a nice home, perhaps, and not necessarily a nice city. But I'm not sure. I think there's been a lot of like movement during the pandemic, like just people reflecting on like whether their city and their hometown like works for them. Yeah. I think that's all I can say about that is like people have like responded to the circumstances that they're in during the pandemic, as opposed to just staying in place. I mean, I think a lot of people have also stayed where they are. So yeah.
I'm curious, what does the word health mean to you?
Yeah, health is like super multifaceted. I think it's a combination of mental and emotional health and physical health. And I think like a lot of it boils down to like your outlook on life. I almost feel like mental and emotional health is like the root. And physical health is almost dependent on emotional and mental health. And I think the more, I guess the longer that I'm on this planet, I'm realizing that a lot of it hinges on like social relationships and feeling supported by people who are empathetic and caring. So yeah, I guess mental and emotional health sort of depends on social health largely. And physical health is something that I sort of see as like following from that, perhaps. But I also recognize that that's like a very able-bodied centric perspective, as someone who like doesn't really have too many physical barriers or physical like hindrances, physical ailments. Yeah, I think for my health, it's been mostly like emotional and mental, and like improving that as much as possible.
What are some of the things you want for your own health and the health of people around you?
Yeah, I love that question. I think I'd like to see public spaces be more accommodating for different bodies. I think there's so much that we can do so much better. So physically, I think cities and yeah, public spaces should just be more accommodating for like different types of people. And I think that like for example, if someone has asthma, like I feel like there should be signage on buildings and such to be more explicit about whether or not masking is happening there. I think it sucks that it's kind of based on what I guess the owner of that building decides to do. Like, I think I would prefer if all spaces like required mask wearing, so that whoever has maybe a pre-existing condition can decide for themselves whether, like instead of needing to decide between doing it and not doing it, like being in that space and not being in that space based on the mask condition, like they can decide on what they actually want, which is like, do I want to be part of that space? Wait, the question was, sorry, I'm like trailing again.
Things you want for your own health and the health of people around you.
I think when I think about like mental, emotional, and social health, like I dream of a world where everyone has like a community and like people who they can like trust and like share with and like just feel grounded in. I think a lot of people feel really alone and they don't necessarily know how to like make friends or like maintain friendships. And I don't think it's because they don't know how to or that they're not worthy. I think they just haven't reached that place, I suppose. Like, you know, so I think that would be what I wish for other people is just like having like a really solid, strong group of like people who they can like trust and rely on and like share with. I think also access to medical care is a big one. Like being able to get the services you need or the medication you need in a timely manner is like a huge barrier for a lot of people. So yeah, like thinking about that. I feel like I have more thoughts on that, but like my brain is like putty right now. So, you know.
What does the word safety mean to you?
I think my first thought goes to like physical safety. Like, do you have a roof over your head? Do you have water and your basic necessities? Like, do you have food? Do you have shelter? Do you feel like you can just exist, I guess, and like breathe and be human? Like, do you feel taken care of in the most basic way? That's what I think of when I think of safety.
Thinking in the really narrow confines of biomedical safety. I know you've already mentioned some of them, but I just want to invite more space. What are some of the things that you've been doing to keep yourself feeling safer from COVID-19?
Feeling safer from COVID-19, biomedical. What are some of the things that I'm doing currently to feel safer? I still wear my mask whenever I can. And like if I'm on the train or on a bus or walking around, and if I can wear my mask, I will wear it. I think that's, oh, also like just staying as clean as possible. I know that COVID-19 isn't spread by contact, or so they say, but I do like sanitize way more than I ever did pre-pandemic. And I wash my hands a lot. So, yeah, I would say socially, I've been pretty like relaxed. Like I haven't really been taking too much caution now. Not thinking about pods, not thinking about social distancing, and not really like negotiating boundaries or talking about it explicitly beforehand.
You'd mentioned earlier getting quadruple vaxxed. Could you tell me a bit about the decision to get vaccinated? And then once you made that decision, how accessible was that to you?
Yeah, I think the decision for me is probably rooted in my trust of the medical, of just vaccination period, and also my fairly smooth interactions with the health care system. And when I, the second part of the question was,
How accessible was it? So when you decided to get vaccinated, how easy was it?
I think it was pretty easy, super easy for me. I just made an appointment at my local pharmacy and then went in during that appointment time and got the care I needed, or got the vaccine. Yeah, I don't feel like I experienced too many barriers getting the vaccine.
How are you feeling about the immediate future?
I mean, I think I'm still worried. I'm worried that our nurses and doctors are going to get burnt out. I'm worried that people are forgetting that it's still a problem and it's still a concern. I think I worry about like political misalignment and just like this very fundamental disagreement about how we should like occupy the same spaces. Yeah, I would say that's probably my biggest concern is like there seems to be like just still a lot of like disagreement about whether to wear a mask and whether to vaccinate. And then maybe also, I think at least within my social circle, like it's becoming less and less a conversation topic, I feel like the pandemic and COVID-19 and like getting sick. It feels like it's kind of been put in the background a little bit. Like people are loosening up. So I guess I'm worried in the sense that maybe we should be more worried.
What are some of your hopes for a longer term future?
I think it starts with understanding like different perspectives. I think until we can sit at the same table and like talk to each other about like where we're coming from and why we feel a certain way, like people will not be aligned. And I think it really just, it kind of boils down to that. And also like maybe helping people understand that like we're not just existing in a vacuum, like our behavior does impact others and vice versa. So yeah, I think my hope for the longer term future is like getting people to understand that like that they live in a system, like an ecosystem, and we can't just like impose our views onto other people about how they should live their lives, because inevitably we affect each other. Yeah.
When you've been in need of support over the last couple of years, who have you been able to turn to?
I've been able to turn to my friendships, both in like my direct area and also like those that are pretty far away. Yeah, my friendships, my family, so my brother, my mom, and my dad, and my professional network, who really are sort of like part of my personal sphere as well. Yeah, I think all of that. I think in many of those circles, I've been able to talk about pretty freely, like my anxieties and thoughts, and they've been well received, I guess. And I feel like I can share and like get support from them.
Has your relationship to touch changed?
For sure. I think it has. I think I am less like willing to shake hands and hug people, not because I feel concerned about the contact, but more so because I don't want to assume that people are comfortable with that. Yeah, I think I've more or less accepted that COVID isn't spread by contact. So I'm like not really concerned about being a vector, I suppose, through contact. But I also recognize that people might be anxious about it still. And so I'm not trying to assume that they're comfortable with a hug or a handshake. Yeah.
Do you remember the last time you touched a stranger?
No, I don't remember. I mean, if I'm thinking of a stranger as someone who I like really don't know and I've met for the first time, I don't think I've done that. I don't even think that was normal for me, I guess, pre-pandemic. Like, maybe shaking hands would be the extent of that. And I think now I just probably don't even consider shaking someone's hand. Yeah.
What are some of the things that you do to take care of yourself?
I think cutting off work after work hours is something that I do. Just trying my very best to set healthy boundaries between like my work time and my personal time. I think also affirming to myself that I've done enough in a single day has been really challenging, like even pre-pandemic. But yeah, like telling myself, even if I don't really believe it, that I was productive and that I did enough and that even if I don't feel like I did everything I set out to do, or if I didn't do everything that I set out to do, I will still try to tell myself that I did my best. What else do I do for self-care? I am in regular contact with my friends, like always, like just trying to like remember the days that are important to them and like reach out to them and ask them like how they're doing, like just checking in. And checking in with family too. Checking in with myself. Like, where am I? How do I feel today? Yeah, I think that's mostly it.
Do you think of COVID-19 as a historic event?
Oh yeah, I mean for sure. It's affected everything. I mean, so many things. And I think even after it passes, there will still be like a trailing effect. Yeah, I think that it'll be something for sure that people remember. In particular, I think about like children and adolescents who grew up during this time, and even co college students that had to go to school remotely. I can't even imagine like growing up during this time frame. Like it sounds so hard and challenging. Yeah, I mean, in many ways, I'm really glad that I was not growing up during this time frame. Like, I'm so glad that I like made it through the really hard years before the pandemic struck. And yeah, like people lost loved ones. That's like, I mean, how can people forget that? You know, how can people forget that they lost someone that they cared about? So yeah, definitely consider it a historic event.
What do you think people in the social sciences and humanities should be doing to help us understand the human side of the pandemic?
It's interesting that I mean, I guess the first thing I really think about is like community organizing. Not so much like academics. Like we have the most impact in our direct communities. So like we can meet up with people here and where we're like located in our like specific locale. So I think about I don't necessarily think about experts in the field, you know, or like people who like have thought a lot about maybe like who are like positioned in the social sciences. I think a lot about like therapists. I think a lot about like community organizers. I think a lot about people in like conflict mediation spaces. I think about people who like are practiced in empathy, and like can like help bridge gaps and divides, I guess. And I think that we should be thinking more on a local level and thinking more about our neighbors and people who we like directly interact with on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, because like America's so huge and like there's no way that we can like possibly agree across like all of our states. Nor should we try to. Like, I think if we can, negotiate boundaries and like agree with each other on a more local and micro level, like I think that is already a huge win. So yeah. Yeah, I think like just like people who are like really well versed in like better understanding, or I guess people who are well versed in like bridging divides across differences. I feel like that's needed more now than ever.
Thinking back to when you were younger, what are some of the things you wished you'd learned more about in history?
I think I wish I learned more about people of color and marginalized groups and people who like aren't often written about in history. I don't even know how my reality would have been, like my reality now would be different if I had learned those things in school. Like, yeah, I just have no idea. I mean, I know now, like I have a friend who's a school teacher and he makes it a point to like include those like perspectives in his curriculum, but like I never had that, so I don't know how that could have helped me or benefited me. Yeah. But I do wish I had had that. Maybe like more of a focus on the immigrant experience or more of a focus on non-normative views, I suppose.
This is my last question. I'd like you to imagine speaking to a historian in the future, someone far enough away that they have no lived experience of this moment. What would you tell them cannot be forgotten about right now?
So I think two things stand out to me. One is like, and I've alluded to this a lot, but just like the importance of empathy and understanding each other. I think that's like the starting point for a lot of like reconciliation and restorative solutions. And I think the second thing would be government accountability. So like when people are screaming at a government being like, hey, like there's looming danger because we see this virus is like on its way, like we should probably pay attention to this. I think the government should pay attention to it. I think those are like two very important learnings for me and for society at large, is like when people are like heeding warnings, like those warnings should be taken seriously rather than gaslighting those people or making them feel like they're like crazy or not, you know, don't have something valid to say or share. Yeah, those two things.
I want to thank you so much for the generosity of your time and the thoughtful kindness in your answers. Those are questions I know how to ask at the moment, but I'm wondering if there's anything you'd like to share that my questions haven't made room for. Please take some space and share it.
I don't think so.